Welcome to another episode of Upstage Conversation. I'm your host, Carrie, and once again, I am joined by my good friend, Jay.
Hello.
And this month, seeing as we are recording this on Halloween Eve, we're doing Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, the 2007 film by Tim Burton, and what Wikipedia refers to as a musical slasher. So...
There's not, there cannot be that many movies in that category.
I think this is it. I think this is the one. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Jay, if you would be so kind as to tell us about the plot of Sweeney Todd.
So, one, I had never seen this before, which is also interesting.
Okay, interesting, because you had wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So I had sort of assumed that you had seen it before.
No, but I was like totally interested.
Okay.
So the plot is, basically this guy is, he's like a nice guy barber in London, and him and his wife and their child, everything's going great for him. Then a local judge who's a real, piece of shit, sees his lovely wife and he's like, I gotta have that. And so he, on some trumped up charges of, the charge of foolishness. He has him arrested and sent away. I'm stealing away his wife and child. And then the movie sort of starts as this barber who now goes by Sweeney Todd is coming back to London, and he looks very Tim Burton-esque. But he was like nice Johnny Depp before, when he was in the beginning. And so he's coming back to London to sort of exact his revenge on this judge and get his wife and child back. And that's the premise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I loved it, by the way. Loved it.
Yeah, it's a good one. This was one where – so this came out in December 2007. I was working for the Towson University newspaper, the Tower Light at the time, and we were inundated with promo material for Sweeney Todd. We had so many of those 11x17 giveaway posters. You could have wallpapered the University Union and still had them left over. There were so fucking many. And I saw it on like a press screening in 2007. And then I hadn't watched it again since.
Oh,
so this was kind of fun to revisit after about 13 years. And so this is a story about a man who was wronged by a judge and accordingly turns into a serial killer trying to get his revenge on the judge. He teams up with Mrs. Lovett, who runs a pie shop.
The worst pie shop in London.
The worst pie shop in London. And so basically his barbershop sits above the pie shop, and as he begins his murder spree, he devises a contraption that after he cuts his victim's throat, he steps on a little thing on the floor and the barber chair turns backwards and sends them in a chute straight into the bakehouse in the basement of the pie shop, where they get ground up and turned into pies that are then sold
and are incredibly popular. Incredibly popular. Yeah, absolutely. I had some things I loved about this movie, and I had some things that I was like, really, this is what we're doing? Okay. But I like overall, I like the plot a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess it's the mark of a good musical that, barring the music completely, this would be a good movie. Like, I would watch this movie. Like, totally would watch this movie.
It is. It is worth pointing out that the musical, which won a lot of Tony Awards in '79 when it debuted, which is by Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler, which in turn it was based on a 1973 play. So this right. was sort of a successful story that was sort of turned into a musical. That was then turned into a movie. Long story short, Sweeney Todd eventually kills the judge, but
yeah.
finds out some other unsavory things about what Mrs. Lovett had told him.
Right.
And then Mrs. Lovett also gets her comeuppance.
Yikes.
Basically, everyone who did something terrible in this movie kind of gets what they deserve at the very end.
Yeah. I like the ending. It's appropriate.
So let's get into the cast a little bit. This being a 2007 film directed by Tim Burton, it stars Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
Least surprising casting of all time.
Right. When this film first came out, someone described Johnny Depp in this movie as doing his best Jack White impression. And like,
I mean, that's not.
Again, I was like, that is not entirely incorrect.
No, it's not.
It is now more correct because Jack White now has those fucking.
Yeah, I think they're turning into each other.
Yeah, they are slowly but surely turning into each other.
Yeah, no, that's accurate.
I don't love it. Johnny Depp, who I don't think is exactly known for his singing voice.
That's probably because Johnny Depp cannot sing.
Here's the thing.
He cannot.
He doesn't have a spectacular timbre to his voice. His pitch is fine. His pitch is actually very good. I think for the purposes of Sweeney Todd, him just sort of growling his way through most of the songs is fine.
Yeah.
Helena Bonham Carter is fine. Like, she looks exactly how you expect Helena Bonham Carter to look in a Tim Burton-directed film based in Victorian London.
I'm not sure, and I don't know the woman. I really don't. But if I had to hazard a guess, she brings her own wardrobe, right? Like, it's the same outfit in every Tim Burton movie. Like, she's like, no, don't send anyone. I have this at home. It's fine.
She looks the same.
Always. Like a crazy person.
And honestly, lovely performance from the late Alan Rickman as the villainous and completely irredeemable Judge Turpin.
I often forget, like outside of like super major roles, like it's easy to forget about Alan Rickman after he died, you know, just because you just haven't seen him, obviously.
Right.
God, I love Alan Rickman in everything. He's so good.
He was so good in everything.
Yeah, I cannot think of a role that I was like, I'm not really feeling Alan Rickman in this. Like, no. He's good in all of them. It's been
almost 5 years since he passed away, which is hard to believe.
Which is fucking awful. But he's fantastic in this. I guess he's sort of the villain. Like, he's the villain in the villain story, but he's not particularly the villain of the story. I mean,
no, Depp is definitely ultimately Sweeney Todd, much as Sweeney Todd is ostensibly the protagonist of the story. He is still the villain here. He's still the person committing the most murders.
A hell of a lot of murders.
Other members of the cast, Timothy Spall, who, if you are familiar with the Harry Potter films, you would recognize him immediately.
Yes, Peter Pettigrew. Yeah. I was like, oh, look, it's Snape and Peter. Like, they're together again. Hey, buddy. That guy looks like a real rat, by the way. Like,
he does. Yeah. He does. And he is a real rat as Beetle Bamford, Turpin's sort of right-hand man.
Oh, I was so glad when he died. I was like, this is awesome. His brains popped out of his head as it hit the ground. I was like, that guy deserved it. Fuck
yeah. Oh, yeah. And then as far as a name that people are familiar with, especially right now in this moment in time, Sacha Baron Cohen is in the movie for a little bit as well.
Wonderful. He's wonderful.
As the sort of con man, Adolfo Pirelli, tries to sell this wonderful miracle elixir that will grow your hair right back, but he's full of shit and he's not even Italian.
No, not at all. He's just like, hey, I'm from London. Yeah, sorry about that. I was totally lying. He's great, though. Like, he is. And, you know, it's funny because of the way he is outfitted in this. Like, the movie is completely drab looking. I mean, it's, you know, it's Victorian times in London.
I mean, and like it's also Tim Burton. They desaturated the hell out of everything. The film that they shot. They tried to make it look as dreary as possible, to the point where, sort of a side note on the production end of this, all of the blood that you see in this movie was actually like bright orange on set because of the way that they were desaturating things.
Oh, interesting.
Because if they had made it red on set, by the time they had finished their sort of post-production process, it would have looked like black. So in order to have the blood look that sort of bright cartoony red that we get, it was like orange in reality.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, so Pirelli is like the most flamboyant, you know, brightly dressed character you see in this.
Yeah, that blue outfit must have been bright as hell for them to bring it down in saturation and it still be that bright. Like, it's kind of amazing. But I like that because it's like the way he looks is directly reflected in his personality or right. that he portrays, at least as this con man.
The cast is rounded out by some newcomers to film in general. Jane Wisner as Joanna, who was making her film debut at the time. Really lovely, very sort of pretty little doll-like human being who has a very pretty voice. Jamie Campbell Bauer as Anthony in his film debut.
I liked him a lot.
He was very good. Ed Sanders as Tobias Ragg, who starts off as Pirelli's like whipping boy basically, and then comes to work for Mrs. Lovett in the pie shop.
I also liked him a lot. I thought he was very good.
And then Laura Michelle Kelly as Lucy Barker, Sweeney Todd's wife, who was really the only person in the cast to bring like kind of an extensive musical theater background to the film. She had, by the time she was filming this movie, she already did a bunch of stuff on the West End. Beauty and the Beast, Whistle Down the Wind, Les Mis, Mamma Mia, My Fair Lady. She had also been on Broadway in Fiddler on the Roof. A couple years before filming Sweeney Todd. I guess it's interesting. It's not like she was relegated to like a side role or anything, because the role of Lucy Barker is so important to the overall story. Laura Michelle Kelly, I think, went on to star in the title role for Mary Poppins.
Oh, interesting.
On the West End. So,
yeah, she's a full-on musical theater person. She's done very little in the world of film, but I mean,
but
she works here.
Yeah. So as this is a musical theater podcast, Jay, what did you think was the best musical number in the film?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer as to what is the best. I will tell you what my favorite one was.
Okay.
And it's just – I think it's because it's super odd, which is the – I don't know the exact song title, but the like the worst pies in London. Like that whole bit I enjoyed a lot.
Okay.
I thought that one was really funny and good.
That's my least favorite in –
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't care for the worst pies in London bit at all.
I mean, there's like roaches and stuff, which is pretty gross. I'm trying to think back. I did like Beautiful Women,
Pretty Women
or Pretty Women, like between Alan Rickman and Johnny Depp actually singing this, and neither one of them are particularly amazing singers by any count. But I always liked sort of those like dueling song roles. Like I like those moments. They're always kind of fun. And there's a number of them in this movie, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably
that one's
Pretty Women is probably my favorite, if I have to think about it.
I think my favorite is probably Not While I'm Around, which is right at the end. And that is sung by Tobias to Mrs. Lovett after he kind of figures out what kind of person Sweeney Todd actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Like he deduces, oh, the barber upstairs has been killing people. And Mrs. Lovett is basically my mom now. So like I have to protect her from this awful, awful, awful man. And like it's sweet and it's so heartbreaking because at the end of it, you know that Mrs. Lovett is going to try and get rid of Tobias
right.
rather than
protect him.
Protect him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, oops. Shit happens.
Yeah. I also really love the contest, which is the bit between Sweeney Todd and Pirelli. So, but
yeah, and I actually thought Sacha Baron Cohen did a really good job in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's
Sacha
one
Baron Cohen of the sort of Hollywood people that they got for this movie. Probably like easily has the best voice.
100%. He's a fascinating guy in a lot of ways, because the vast majority of work that people know him from is just silly, goofball, like interview
his characters,
shows.
Like right. Ali G and Borat and Bruno. And,
right. Just really kind of dumb things. But in reality, that guy's a really pretty good actor. And when he actually is allowed to kind of really dig in, like, he does a really great job. Like, he's in that movie, The Trial of the Chicago 7, which yeah. apparently he's very good in. It's on my list of things.
Sacha Baron Cohen was also in the 2012 film version of Les Mis. Like,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's been in multiple musicals.
Right. Like, he's weirdly, like, a real, like, film and theater guy, mm-hmm. where people would just be like, the Ali G guy? Like, that guy is pretty serious. Like, he's an enigma in a lot of ways, because he's a total goofball in some things. And then he like interviews with him. He's like a super serious guy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's weirdly hard to get a beat on him of like,
yeah.
He's like a guy in Hollywood who is almost impossible to pigeonhole, because everything he does is also wildly different, which is dope.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did Sweeney Todd like literally a year after the first Borat film came out.
Right. Where he does not have to do
that. I remember Sweeney Todd came out and people were like, Borat's in this movie? So it's like, yeah, not only is Borat in this movie, he's one of the best parts about this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a musical number that you particularly disliked?
That I particularly disliked. I'm not a fan. I'm really not much of a fan of the I'm Gonna Steal You song.
Oh yeah.
I'm just not blown away by it. It's not horrible. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not horrible, but it's, yeah, I'm just generally not blown away by it. So.
It's interesting because it's like Sweeney Todd the film. There isn't anything musically that I think is like blow you away amazing, but there also isn't anything that is like this is horrendous and I can't believe I sat through it.
That's exactly right. That's
it's
exactly
very
right.
Even keeled.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now to get into the changes from the stage production. On the musical number end of things, it did notably cut the opening number, which is the Ballad of Sweeney Todd. And Burton's rationale for doing that was basically he said, why bother having a chorus singing about attending the tale of Sweeney Todd when you could just go ahead and attend it? Which is like, okay, I get it. Burton did a lot as far as sort of like cutting down the length of a lot of the music.
Interesting.
And he changed a lot of the arrangements. He made the music sound more cinematic by having like 70 something musicians performing it rather than the sort of usual 15 to 20 that you would have like attending the stage production on Broadway.
I mean, it works.
Yeah, it does. It's fine. But yeah, there's just Burton apparently just wanted to avoid the traditional old school musical feel of having like bits of dialogue that were then just like interrupted by a song.
Right. I so look, I kind of agree with
not
that.
A lot of choreography involved.
There's almost none.
There is almost zero choreography happening here.
Yeah.
And it's, you don't have like the sort of ensemble chorus contributing to any of the music. It's quite literally just the principal characters that you get as far as the singing is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of sort of that break into like 40 people then singing. Like, it seems odd. Yeah. On stage, it makes sense, right? Because you want to make it like more booming, and you need sort of that, just that physical presence generally, right? And when you bring it down to like one or two people, it makes it feel more intimate in those moments and stuff like that. So there's an atmosphere when it goes to plays or from musicals to the screen. But yeah, I actually kind of prefer this method of handling it. So mm-hmm. It worked for me. I mean, I'm not a hardcore theater person, so I don't know how that would translate for a lot of people, but right. Like for me, it seemed to work.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because as far as the sort of changes from stage to screen are concerned, like for me, it's hard to say that the changes are like good or bad one way or the other. But I think it's worth noting that when this film came out, it wasn't marketed as like the musical event of the holiday season.
No,
they were just like, this is like a horror movie and we're releasing it.
Yeah.
So if you didn't know that Sweeney Todd was a musical, you would perhaps walk in to see the latest Johnny Depp film, the latest Tim Burton film, not realizing that you were about to watch a musical.
Yeah, so I would be shocked by that.
A lot of like the initial audience response was like, "Yo, nobody told me this was a musical."
Yeah. So, look, I get that. And I would have probably been like, okay. But I enjoyed the story. So I would have, you know, I'd been like, all right, well, whatever. This dude is like killing a lot of people. So I'm here for it.
He did. Yeah. I mean, does seeing the film version make you want to view the stage version?
100%. Okay. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Like whether it's the actual, with actual singing or not. Yeah, absolutely. I like the story. I think the story is good. I have to say, as weirdly contrived as it is to put Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter in these roles directed by Tim Burton, who I am not a huge fan of, by the way.
Not me either.
Because I was like, oh, it's a Tim Brawl. God damn it. Yeah. Like, immediately. But this is about as Tim Burton-y, Johnny Deppish, and Helena Bonham Carter-esque with those three nerds together as you're gonna get, and it is like, it super works. Like, this is all three of their wheelhouse together. This is like exactly the type of stuff they should do. Yeah. And Johnny Depp is having a blast. Like, he is
It's clear he's having a very good time in this role.
Oh yeah. He gets dressed like a psychopath.
I quite enjoy the sort of like Mrs. Lovett's number where she's like, I'm going to marry this beautiful barber man and like live out my life by the sea. And, you know, it's the brightest number in the film cinematically, because everything sort of changes to like these lovely pastels and, you know, but again, Johnny Depp doing like his impression of Jack White at a ball game, just like scowl, like flat across, just like not even so much as breaking a smile for an instant.
I have to say that scene is pretty hilarious, just because it's like, I'm by the beach, and they cut to Depp and he's like, mm-hmm. Like, we're with friends. Like, he hates everything. He's like, he's beautiful, he's a perfect man. I'm like, this guy is miserable. All he can think is, how am I going to murder that judge? Like, that's right. All he can think of.
He is singularly focused. He is like, I'm going to murder this man because he raped and killed my wife and stole my daughter.
Not just rape.
Like, a public raping. Group of people.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a costume party and then raped this woman in front of everyone.
Yeah. That's a little dark, guys. Like, they had an Eyes Wide Shut party, and then they were like, yeah, let's do some raping. It was like,
yeah,
that doesn't feel like the right thing to do. Yeah, there's, again, it's like when we did Grease. There's some very fucked up things. Like, if you're watching, you're like, whoa. That's an implication of a group, like a public raping.
A public group rape.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
By a judge.
Yeah.
By, like, an elected official.
Right. Like, a little odd. A little odd.
Yeah. There's, yeah, I mean, this, I would say this is, like, one of a handful of like really good musicals to watch this time of year. Like if you mm-hmm. want like a good, like absolute fucking horror show of a time, or if you're just like, what is a musical slasher film?
Yeah.
Watch Sweeney Todd.
Yo, he cuts people's throats and it's like pretty gruesome.
It's cartoonish.
Yeah.
As far as how much
I love it.
Blood comes out.
It's like one of these old, like, Japanese or, like, karate films, right? Like, it's just, like, blood coming out of their mouths, and it's just, it's insane.
It's interesting. I mean, this film was, you know, very positively received when it released. It won the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, and Johnny Depp won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. And it won the Academy Award for Best Art Direction.
All right. I get that. That makes all the sense in the world to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you think about what's going on in the story and you're just like, yo, this dude is a crazy person.
Oh, straight up.
But you root for him the whole time.
Yes. Yeah, right up until the end where you're like, yeah, it's time to go, dude.
I guess it's one of these things where, I mean, spoiler alert, there's this beggar woman that you see sort of float in and out of the storyline.
Yeah, I called this one pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it turns out that the beggar woman is Sweeney Todd's wife. Now, Mrs. Lovett basically says, oh, she poisoned herself with arsenic, which implies that she's fucking dead.
Right.
She is not dead. She just, like, drank poison and lost her marbles.
Yeah, because she got publicly group raped, which is
Sweeney Todd, in, I think, the most gruesome moment of the movie, upon finding out that his wife was alive and that he inadvertently killed his wife, turns on Mrs. Lovett at the very end. And she's like, I didn't lie to you. I would never lie to you. Mm-hmm. I told you the truth. I told you she poisoned herself. I never said she was dead. And he dances around with her in the basement of the pie shop and then throws her into the oven.
Yo, I was not I was expecting that, like, as the scene was clearly being set up. I was like, okay, good luck, lady. But the level of gruesomeness of him throwing her in and then watching her burn and like screaming stuff. I was not expecting that level of like horror movie detail in this.
It is by far like the most horrifying scene.
Yeah, it is.
In the entire story. In another quick change, from the musical, Tobias does kill Sweeney Todd at the end by cutting his throat, and he just kind of walks away in the movie, which mm-hmm. is fine. And like the movie just kind of ends with Sweeney Todd now dead, holding the body of his also dead wife. In the musical, Tobias kind of loses his mind at the end, having watched Mrs. Lovett die. So like after he kills, Sweeney Todd, he goes back to the meat grinder and just starts like repeating the last thing that Mrs. Lovett said to him over and over and over again.
Oh, wow.
So we don't get that. It's slightly more optimistic for Tobias.
Yeah, because, I mean, having him lose his mind in the end would be like, there are no winners. Like, there's everyone he is dead or screwed up.
Yeah.
which, I mean, this is for largely an American audience, so it has to – they got to button it up nicely.
A little bit, yeah. But overall, I mean, I think Sweeney Todd is a – it's a good story. Yep. It's a terribly depressing story, but it is a good story nonetheless. And yeah, I mean, of Tim Burton's filmography, I honestly think this is my favorite. And I don't know that anything else really comes close. Maybe Batman.
I mean, Batman, Beetlejuice, those definitely beat it out for me.
I actually watched Beetlejuice for the first time recently, and I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, I mean, it feels timely, right? Like, that feels like a thing you might have had to see when you were younger. I feel like
I never watched Beetlejuice as a kid. I watched the cartoon.
Cartoon was great.
Fox Kids.
It was ridiculous, but whatever it was.
Yeah, I watched Beetlejuice for the. I mean, this is a weird aside, though maybe not, because they did make a Beetlejuice musical like last year that was apparently very good, nominated for a bunch of Tonys. Yeah, I watched Tim Burton's Beetlejuice for the first time like last month, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it as a kid, so like it has way more impact for me. But yeah, I'm not a huge Tim Burton fan. Like, I'm just not. Yeah. Like, I feel like he's one of those guys. Like, I'm spooky. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like,
yeah, right. We get it. You shop at Hot Topic.
Right. Like, that's kind of like that's the kind of guy he is. And I'm like, all right, dude, relax. But at the same time, like, yeah, it's like shocking news. You were married to Helena Bonham Carter. That doesn't surprise anyone. But like, I'm looking at his filmography. I mean, he's just kind of a dark guy. Like, he, you know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which I enjoy. It's fucked up, but I enjoy it. Beetlejuice, Batman. I'm not the hugest Edward Scissorhands movie fan.
Neither am I.
It's okay. I don't like Batman Returns. It's ridiculous. Ed Wood, Mars Attacks, I've never seen. Sleepy Hollow, I do enjoy, I have to say. Planet of the Apes is terrible. Big Fish is a good movie. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is bad.
I forget he did Big Fish.
Yeah, Big Fish is a good movie. Charlie and Chocolate Factory was not good. Corpse Bride, I never saw that. Sweeney Todd,
it's him just trying to recapture Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
That's all Corpse Bride is.
Got it.
Alice in Wonderland, no. Dark Shadows, no.
Didn't see it. Frank and Weenie, didn't see it. Big Eyes, didn't see it.
No.
Dumbo
was terrible.
Yeah,
you can go listen to my fucking old Coming Distractions.
Yeah, no thanks.
For that.
So, like, I feel like he was great in the 80s, couple of hits in the 90s, and then, like, one or two in the 2000s. For me.
Yeah. Right, I mean, look, I think Sweeney Todd manages to capture Tim Burton's aesthetic in a way that isn't fucking annoying.
Yeah, no, that feels right. And I think probably a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's based on a play and it's a musical. Mm-hmm. So, like, the over-the-topness of it all, like, you're just like, yeah, well, that's kind of...
It makes sense.
It just makes sense in the genre, right?
Right.
Where if it was just a regular movie, you'd be like, all right, Johnny Depp, you need to settle down on some of this, right? but because it's a musical, you go, yeah, it's supposed to be boisterous. Like, it's supposed to be a little goofball. It's supposed to be a little gonzo. So it does really work quite well. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely the best thing I've seen him do since Big Fish. And that was 2003. So,
yeah,
that's not bad. Yep. So, yeah, once every like 7 to 10 years, Tim Burton like knocks it out of the park for me. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Here's the thing. I don't know that I would want to see Tim Burton do another musical.
I don't think I need that.
Sweeney Todd. And I don't think anyone ever needs to see Tim Burton do another musical at all, ever. But hey, he did real good with this one.
Yeah, he did.
Any other thoughts before we wrap up this Halloween episode?
I just think it's if you've never seen it, I think you do yourself a favor. It's a pretty fun watch. And also, they just let kids drink gin, which I think is just hilarious. That kid gets fucking smashed on
Joe Tobias.
Leave the bottle. I'm like, yo, you're 12. Go sit down. Get out of here.
Honestly, fair though.
I mean, yes, this kid's seen some shit. But yeah, I mean, if not to see it for the aesthetic and the sort of general creepy weirdness of it all, because musicals really don't go hyper violent. So it's interesting when you see it here, you're like, whoa,
yeah. Okay.
Like it's kind of crazy.
It is rare where you have a musical that engages in such explicit violence as Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, you get to watch Johnny Depp beat a man almost to death with a tea kettle, and they show it. Like it's surprising for the genre of film. It's very surprising. But yeah, I would say if you hadn't seen it and you have a mild interest in a particular story, it's a pretty fun story. It's a pretty fun story.
Yeah. Especially this time of year. So.
Yes, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, thank you for listening. And don't forget to check out the rest of the shows in the TNP premium lineup, which include The Airing of Grievances, The Men with the Golden Tongues, No Time to Bleed. I guess we'll be back at some point.
Yes, next month.
But perhaps most importantly, full episodes of Look Forward, which is just a wild ride these days.
Ugh, a cornucopia of madness.
Yeah. Yep. The only thing more horrifying than watching Johnny Depp murder many, many, many men with a straight razor is the state of American politics right now.
Yes.
And hey, don't forget to listen to the rest of our free content. So flagship show, The Nerdpocalypse, as well as Dense Pixels and Black on Black Cinema. So Jay, thank you once again for joining me.
Absolutely.
When I started the show, I didn't think I could get you on more than one episode, and I've gotten you on three so far. So
me either.
Very exciting.
I'm as shocked as you are. Though I told you offline, I won't spoil it, but there is one musical I want to do that I want to rip to shreds because I hate it.
I'm very excited for this to one day happen. So
yes.
We'll see what we're back with next month. I do have something planned for December. So we'll see who gets subjected to my December plans. So,
okay. If it's anything about Christmas, it will not be me.
No, it's not anything about Christmas.
Okay.
But in the meantime, thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All right, guys.